Now, we had lunch together today, and when we did, he mentioned the verse that he quoted at the end of his presentation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I just, going over what I was going to preach tonight, I had seen something in the Old Testament a while back, and I put it in the notes there that I keep on sermon ideas, and the Lord kept bringing that passage that I'm going to show you tonight to mind, coupled with the verse of Scripture that he just quoted and the one we talked about at lunch today. So I have something for you from the Scripture that goes hand in hand with what he has already spoken this evening. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll just pick it up around verse 12, and we'll read a bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. The Bible says, "For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it's for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yet though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." And then he explains the great substitution verse in verse 21, or writes the great substitution verse in verse 21. You'll notice there in verse 14, the same verse, or actually two verses that were quoted, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." You know, what happens a lot of times with people, when we're in church and we hear something of a presentation like we've heard tonight, or you're in a missions conference, and there's emphasis on telling other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, or go to a youth camp, or some kind of a Bible conference, it's not uncommon for our hearts to be stirred to do something like what we've heard and to do something about what we've heard. And so so from time to time you'll hear people that'll say, "God has called me to preach, and now God has called me to go to a mission field," or something like that. And so while we were talking, you remember he said in his presentation, There aren't any missionaries in La Paz now. The ones that were there are gone. Some have come and some have gone. Correct? And I can remember on several of the mission trips that we've taken, we've talked to missionaries, and they'll say yes, like Brother Stensis did in Uganda. "We've been here 20 years, and in the 20 years that we've been here," of course, it's been longer than that now, that's when we were there, "there have been 20 missionary families that have come and they've gone. They were here and now they're not here." And when we visited at lunch today, Brother Elsie and I, about this, he said what happens a lot of times is that people feel the burden for people somewhere. They're drawn. They have a love for, as he does, the people where they're going to go and minister, like the love for the Bolivian people. But what happens is that when you start ministering to people, And you get close enough to help them, as Daniel Havman would say, you get close enough to touch them, you're also close enough to be hurt by them. And after a period of time, with the difficulties that you endure, the tribulation that comes, that's just normal and natural in ministering in this world for the Lord Jesus Christ, it gets harder than they thought it would be. It gets more difficult. The results aren't at the level of expectation. The goals are not being met. The family becomes discouraged, and they leave the field. And what he was saying in the presentation, what he said to me at lunch today, is there has to be something more than just love for people or love for particular people that would cause you to want to go. It would have to be something like verse 14, the love of Christ constraineth us. In verse 15, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them arose again. It has something to do with your love for God and God's love for them. Right? That really gets your heart. Whether it's here so we can pray for them, whether it's here so that we can give to them, whether it's here so we can tell the people we know about the Lord Jesus Christ, or whether it's somewhere else because God has called you. It's the love of Christ that constraineth us. To constrain is to hold us back or by or as if by force, meaning from living to ourselves. We're going to give our lives now for the sake of Christ to other people. And so that's what's going on here. But you know, it would be interesting for us to examine the Scripture and see just a few places in the heart of men and women like ourselves, or in this case, we'll notice it in the heart of men, something that happens that God puts in there, it causes you to love people that don't love you. All right, so that was in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? When Jesus Christ came here, the Bible says that he died for sinners. He died for the ungodly. Even more so, he died for his enemies. And we see him while he's in the flesh. You know, he said here, henceforth know, in verse 16, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Jesus Christ is now the risen Savior. You know him, but you don't know him after the flesh. You've never seen him in the flesh. You know him, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You know him as the risen Savior, the powerful King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who's changed your life, right? There's a spiritual thing. And now we that know him, we're new creatures in Christ. The old things have passed away and all things have become new. So there's something of God in us that allows us to be able to enter into this ministry of reconciliation with more than just a burden for people, with more than just a desire, with more than just a, I got to tell them because somebody told me. And I want you to see a few cases of this. When Jesus Christ was here in the flesh, Matthew chapter 23, and he had just given a scathing rebuke to the Pharisees. And he knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that the events that would unfold after what he said would lead to his crucifixion. Look what he said in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. He's standing there. He's arrived in the city of Jerusalem. He's there now to die. And he says in Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Do you understand? It's in Jerusalem. It's the very people that he sees here. It's the very people that are getting ready to kill him. Luke says when he's standing there to look at Jerusalem, he's weeping. Weeping over the city that kills the prophets, stones them that are sent unto them, and about to crucify the Son of God. The very Pharisees that he has reproved, called hypocrites, and called them out on everything they do that's wrong. And did so truthfully. he's getting ready to die for. And some of these, as you see in the book of Acts, and some priests, as you see in the book of Acts, after they're preaching the word of God boldly, are turning to Christ and getting saved. The most vicious opponent to the gospel that ever lived was Paul the Apostle, and Jesus Christ died for him, and he got saved and he changed. Right? So knowing what he's getting ready to do, he's not going into a place where people are excited about him being there. He's going into a place where the people are ready to kill him. And they get excited when he comes in, right? Hosanna in the highest, all right? That didn't last very long. The same voices are crying, crucify him, crucify him. And that's what he had. A heart for that city. Well, it's rightly so. Where's he going to come back to reign when he comes to this earth? To that very place that he will call, I guess you would say, that I'm using this loosely, that he would call home. This is the place of his throne. This is where he's going to set up, right? His earthly kingdom, right there. What is that in his heart that allows him to feel what he feels and express what he expresses toward that city, knowing what they're getting ready to do to him? It's called the love of Christ. And Paul said that's what constrains us, to not live to ourselves, but to live unto him that died for them. Well, what effect did this love, Paul says the love of Christ constrained us, right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the passage that we looked at, what did this do to Paul? Was it anything similar to what it did to the Lord Jesus Christ? I think so. Look in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, this is not a passage that's unfamiliar to you. But in Romans chapter 9, in verse 1, Paul's telling you, we know he is the apostle to the Gentiles, but he can't get Israel off his mind. And everywhere he goes to the synagogue, he goes to the Jew first, right, and then to the Greek. Until he eventually ends up back in Jerusalem, even against the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and he gets imprisoned and then eventually sent to Rome. Romans chapter 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites. What is that that compels a man who knows the very people who are... they're the ones that had him arrested. They're the ones that were going to kill him after a fake trial. They're the ones that eventually he has to say, I appeal unto Caesar, right? They're the ones. And he said, for those people, I could wish myself accursed from Christ. Seriously? That's not a natural thing. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is a transformation that takes place, and he describes it as the love of Christ that constraineth us. It's the same thing you saw in the Lord Jesus Christ weeping over Jerusalem. It's the same thing that you see here in Paul's testimony. I'd die for them. He says, another place, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. The stuff that he endured in his body in order to be able to preach the gospel to the people that were lost so that they might be saved. Only God could do that. And that is a love that is much more than simply a burden for people or a love for people that we would have, particularly if you see the cute little hats and little stuff and they're like, oh, I think I'd like to go there too. And Spanish wouldn't be that hard to learn. I think I could go over there and learn that. It's got to be more than that. The passage of Scripture that I was talking about, that I've been reading and keep looking at every week when I'm thinking about what is it that you'd have me to preach now, is in 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18. When you think of David and the Bible's description of his heart, what do you think of? When you think of David and the Bible's description of his heart, what do you think of? David, a man after God's own heart. There's something in him that is a reflection of God's own heart. A man after God's own heart, right? Okay, 2 Samuel chapter 18, look at verse 33. This is after the rebellion of Absalom. This is after Absalom has tried to win all the hearts of the people over to him. This is after Absalom has killed his brother. This is after Absalom has burned up Joab's field. This is after that rebel has gotten into power and has been killed. And the king just found out that Absalom is dead. A type of the Antichrist. 2 Samuel 18, 33, and the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. O Absalom, my son, my son. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. He died for us. This is similar to what Paul was saying when he said, I could wish myself to be accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, who are Israelites. The love of Christ constraineth us, he says, so that we don't live unto ourselves, but we live for those for whom Christ died. You know, when Paul describes in Romans chapter 5 progress in our Christian lives, he eventually says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It gets in us, right? And then it is shed abroad. You see it in Jesus Christ, you see it in Paul, and you see something similar to that in the heart of King David, who was a man after God's own heart. He'd be willing to die. Would God I died for thee, for that man, after what Absalom did? Is that not it's a very strange, it's a very high thing. All right, so what are we to take from this? Well, are you saying, preacher, that we're not suited to do any of this work for God unless our love matches this level? No, if it was so high as that, none of us could reach it. It'd be like, well, there's no reason for me to try because that's a bar too high for me to reach. But what it does say is, if I have some love, but I don't have that much love, I have room to grow. Right? It's I recognize if I give my life like Paul said, it would not live unto ourselves, but for those for whom Christ died. And it takes Christ's love to be an ambassador for Christ. God, give me that heart. Let me not be discouraged because I don't have it now, but just let me realize if I've got some love for people now and I have some love for you now, there's room to grow. I want you to give me more. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's God's love. That's what it is. Sometimes people get into this thing for the ministry because they want to do something to make a name for themselves. They're not going to last on the mission field like that. Because the letters, they can't keep churning out letters that say what great work they're doing, right? Not if they're in it for themselves, but some people are. Some people get frustrated because it's harder than they thought. And if you've lived for Christ for any period of time, you go through some certain hardship, but you realize that God puts you through that to mature you and deepen your love and grow you spiritually. Some people encounter that early on and they run. I'm not saying, and I don't believe the Bible is either, that we come into this automatically, but since, you know, with that level of love, but since we're new creatures in Christ, when we don't live to ourselves and we start living unto them for whom Christ died, and we recognize that we are ambassadors for Christ and that we've entered this ministry of reconciliation, and God knows you want to do it for His sake, He starts putting something in you that changes your heart. All things are become new. And the love starts matching the love of people after God's own heart, and they start matching the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for those. Because Christ did love them enough to die for them. You know, as I was thinking about this, I was reminded, many of you already know, and I'm not going to go into any length of this story. Just want to bring your attention back to it. Do you remember Jim Elliot in Ecuador? You remember that? Many of you have read about that. You've heard about it. If not, you know, I encourage you to read about it. You can check more after the message tonight. But Jim Elliot and four other missionaries went down to Ecuador, and their desire was to reach a tribe. And so they went there, and in 1956, Jim Elliot and those four other missionaries were speared to death by the very tribe that they had gone to reach for Christ. And he'd just been married, a couple of years to Elizabeth. He'd met her down there, I think in 53, they married in 54, 56. She is a widow, and her husband has been dead, trying to reach people they believe God would have them to go to. 1956. You know what she did in 1958? She went right back to the very people that killed her husband with a heart and a desire to try to reach them when her husband wasn't able to do that. And she reached them, the Wadoni tribe. I encourage you to check that out, because what is it that had to be in her heart to make her go back there? It would have to be the verse of Scripture that he quoted at the end of his presentation. It has to be a love of Christ that constrains us. I'm not going to live for myself, but for the sake of those for whom Christ died, to enter this ministry of reconciliation. Now that's with that, you could be very effective for Christ, whether you do it here or at work or in your neighborhood, among your family, or on a field on the other side of the world. That's what will get the job done. Father, we're very, very thankful tonight to have heard a presentation from a young man who's got a great desire now to go back to a place where he grew up, continue on in the work that can be done there because of the great need, because of what you've done, and for the love that you've put in his heart. We understand, Father, as a young man, that the love of Christ will grow in his heart, but there's enough there now to change direction and head back to Bolivia. Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to be encouraged by what we've seen. There are young men and young women here who might very well have been encouraged by what they've heard tonight to consider, how should I enter this ministry of reconciliation? How would you choose to use us? Father, may we be very sensitive to the leadership of your Holy Spirit in our lives as you continue to impress upon our hearts the great need around us. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.